Rest in peace, John Madden. Rest in peace, Betty White. Do you think Betty White ever used the N-word? I'm just curious. 99 years old. I mean, it's from a different era. You gotta ask, don't you? What if that came out? What if people from Betty White's life started doing a tell-all about her? And they were like, oh yeah, Betty White with the N-word? Oh, you should have seen her during the playoffs. She kidding me? Happy New Year from the Comparison Group Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at @comparison_show. @comparison_show. I'm saying that twice because someone pointed out to me it sounds like there's a mistake. And for some reason it got doubled. It's not. It's just a habit. I say it twice. @comparison_show. Go to the website www.thecomparisongroup.com. www.thecomparisongroup.com for fact checks, sources, and old episodes of the podcast. Did you notice that change to the show? I'm going to start telling people what show they're listening to in the beginning. I realize, listening back to some past episodes, sometimes I don't mention the name of the show. It's not even that I forget it. I like to get right down to business. I don't like a lot of playful banter, even though that's not banter. But I really should tell people what show they're listening to, the Comparison Group Podcast. So I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to make that change in 2022. You know what? I got to make a list for myself, or I made a list for myself. You recall that? I made a list for myself of things that I have to remember to do. I'm going to add that. Let me see. Where's my list? Here it is. Number one, try and make a point. Don't just ramble for 30 minutes and not make a point. Got to remember that. Number two, don't forget to publish the show after I record it so people can listen to it. Number three, stop calling the audience rubes and suckers. It's not nice. So now I need to add, announce the title of the show so you rubes and suckers know what you're listening to. All right. I should also start giving the date of each show. Sometimes I repost older shows if something related happens in the news, and I'm sure that gets confusing for people. So the date I'm recording the show should be in the show. So today is January 6th, 2022. There we go. Now, before I get started on the wait a second. January 6th? Isn't that the date a bunch of Patriot tourists went to Washington and took selfies with the police, and then Black Lives Matter and Antifa showed up and ruined everything? I think it is. Now, that's a joke. Don't ruin my show. If you didn't get that as a joke, please stop listening right now. Just shut it off. Because, no offense, but I just want smart people listening to the show. And I assume that everyone gets the joke. Everyone is in on the joke. But if you're not, if you missed that as a joke, this show may not be for you. Now, I know I got a loyal base of listeners so far that are smart. I can tell by their comments. I can tell they're smart. For instance, when I do some commentary on bisexual Superman, I'm happy to see that not a single listener sent me a message saying, you know, you said LGBTQ, but it really should have been LGBTQIA+. Now listen, if you're new to the show, I've explained I do not give people the politically correct name all the time. I say black, white, and other. I will say LGBTQ, but I will not say LGBTQIA+. You're not going to keep adding letters on to me. I just can't do it. I don't have the time. That's a lie. I do have the time. I'm just too lazy. I'm too lazy to call everyone by their politically correct name. You won't hear Latinx. No offense to my Latino and Latina brothers and sisters out there. I'm just too lazy to do it. So thank you to my smart listeners for not jumping all over me for those things. If you're looking to jump all over me for not being politically correct, for making a joke that you don't get, I'll give you another example. I tweeted out something about the January 6th investigation saying this investigation has taken forever. It'll be finished around the same time Donald Trump finishes his second term in office. And people lost their minds. I got tweets back from people, never, never, Donald Trump will never be president again. No, I was making a joke. I was saying that, you know, it's no fun when you got to explain the joke. So if you don't get the joke of the show, like I said, it may not be for you. But please, give it a shot. Give it a listen. You probably are smart enough. You don't have to be that smart to listen to the show, but you got to be a little bit smart, but not that smart. But give it a shot. Give it a few episodes. You read the description. It says it's a non-biased show. It's in the middle. And then you hear something and you go, this doesn't sound like it's non-biased. This guy criticizes Biden a lot. This guy criticizes Trump a lot. That's non-biased when you criticize both sides. You get it? But you got to listen to a few episodes. You can't listen to 5 minutes of one and determine the show's not non-biased. You got to hang in there with it. I appreciate it if you do. I'm quite sure a lot of people must have gotten this show for Christmas as a Christmas gift from friends or family. They probably came to you and said, I got the greatest gift in the world for you. I'm going to give you the gift of the Comparison Group podcast. Wonderful. Thank you. I'm quite sure people appreciated it and probably considered it the best gift they got this year or last year I got, I guess. I did have one listener say, listen to the show as if your life depends on it. I think that's going a little bit too far. I do not think this show will save your life. I don't even think it'll make your life better. Maybe, maybe not. But hopefully you'll find it interesting. It'll be an interesting distraction for the 30 or 40 minutes I do the show. Now, let's get down to business. Oh, wait. Before I get to the topic, the main topic of the show, sexual harassment, I just need to tell you a quick story. Something that just happened to me because I think it's interesting and it's interesting for the show. I recently broke down in quite possibly the worst place on planet Earth to break down. I-95, right lane, no shoulder because of construction, just outside of Philadelphia. I may as well have broken down on turn 3 at Darlington Raceway. Cars are whizzing by at 1,000 miles an hour, only noticing at the last minute there's a broken down car right in front of them. Now, needless to say, my underwear was getting browner and my blood pressure was getting higher. I got out. I climbed over the barrier to stand off to the side, so I was relatively safe. But all I could picture was someone slamming into the back of my van at full speed and killing themselves. In just a few minutes after I broke down, three cars had to slam on their brakes to avoid me. And then he showed up. The Philadelphia police. Now, I don't know if he was a Democrat or Republican. I don't know if he was a Trump supporter, or maybe he was one of the 60,000 people who voted for Kanye West. I don't know if he was vaccinated or unvaccinated. He didn't have a mask on, and I didn't care. All I cared about in that moment is that he get me and my vehicle to safety, which he did in an expert and professional way in a matter of minutes. He jumped out and said, "We got to get you out of here. You're in a real bad spot," which, yeah, I knew that. But he told me exactly what to do, jumped back in his car, and used his front bull bar, or push bumper, is what they call it, to push me about a mile and a half to the next exit, off I-95 to safety. He asked me if I was okay, checked my van, noticed a slight dent in the back from his bumper, and asked if it was okay. I said, absolutely. I'd rather have a small dent in the back from his bumper, then the entire back of my work vehicle smashed in. We talked for a little bit before he left, and he told me the Philly State Police had 5 cars hit while on the side of the road just that past week, including his. So I looked it up. According to the CDC, from 2011 to 2020, about 1 police officer a week is killed in a traffic-related incident. About 1 a month from being hit by a car while on the side of the road. Now, does this mean there are no issues when it comes to policing and the black community? No. Does it mean there are no bad apples in policing? No, there are bad apples in every profession. No, what it means is we can start to see these things as mutually exclusive. The police are there to protect and serve when you need them. But what the officer did and what he probably has done a dozen times won't make the news. Won't get a lot of credit for it, and yet they do it every day. And separately, when they mess up or there is a bad apple in the bunch, there has to be accountability, as in any profession. Now, I am going to sue him and the state police and the city of Philadelphia for the damage he did to my vehicle because, come on, this is America. Now, moving on to sexual harassment. Let me first explain, I've wanted to talk about this for over a month now because of three separate stories I heard all around the same time, but it just didn't fit into any show I was doing. I thought about doing an extra show one week on this topic, but never got around to it, so I decided to make it the first show of the new year and mix things up a bit. Not so much political. Okay? So, we all know we're living in a new age of awareness about sexual assault and sexual harassment. The Me Too movement was founded by Tarana Burke in 2006 to raise awareness of women who had been abused. I know, right? I just assumed it had been started by some celebrity. But no, the phrase Me Too was first used in 2006 on MySpace by activist and sexual assault survivor Tarana Burke. I'm reading now. The purpose of Me Too is to empower sexually assaulted individuals through empathy and solidarity, through strength in numbers, especially young and vulnerable women, by visibly demonstrating how many have survived sexual assault and harassment, especially in the workplace. Let's listen to her.
I started this work because there was a gap in my community. Uh-huh. I lived and worked in Selma, Alabama at the time. I'm from the Bronx, New York.
And as
a survivor, I didn't see this work happening for other girls who looked like me in my community. And I just felt compelled to fill that gap. And so that's really the start, the origins of this work. Well, because as a child, particularly I think little girls and little black girls, we're given a lot of messages about how we're supposed to protect ourselves. And so you're told, you know, to when somebody comes over, you're supposed to put clothes on, or don't let anybody touch your private parts, and all of these kind of messages meant to protect us. So when you're violated, it feels like you've broken a rule. And that's how I felt. I felt like I broke the rules. So I didn't feel like a victim. I felt like I'd done something bad.
Like it was your failure.
It was my failure. It was my fault. And so I didn't call myself, I certainly didn't call myself a survivor, and I didn't feel like a victim. I felt like a bad girl. The first thing people said about me when Me Too went viral and I became a public figure is, well, who would want to rape you?
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Who would want to sexually harass you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, as if it's a sexual thing and not a power thing.
Right. And so I wanted to confront that head on and have a real discussion about it, mm-hmm. because I don't think we talk about, like, people talk about pretty privilege. Mm-hmm. If pretty is a privilege, that means somebody is underprivileged.
So just a couple of clips of Tarana Burke on The View. Now, in preparation for the show, I look things up, I look for clips, and I'm ashamed to admit, I had never heard of Tarana Burke. Never knew she started the Me Too movement. Never knew it started so long ago, 10 years prior to it becoming a trending hashtag. I never knew her story, and yet I considered myself a supporter of Me Too. So in that vein, let me give you three stories that I heard all around the same time that compelled me to do this show. Stories I'm sure you probably haven't heard because they don't make the news, even though two of these stories involve celebrities. Now, one story I heard listening to a small indie podcast show like mine. The podcast is called F My Work Life. Yep, that's what it's called, F My Work Life. A podcast where the host discuss and read all different types of stories about work, about people at work. People send in stories, and they read them, and they discuss their own funny stories about work. It's a fun show. But I'm listening to one episode, and a young woman tells a story about when she worked at Victoria's Secret. She explained that on a regular basis, she would get men that would come in and ask, "So what are you wearing under your clothes?" Or, "Hey, you're about the same size as my wife slash girlfriend slash grandmother. Would you try this on for me so I can see what it looks like?" Frequently, she said guys would come in and say the most inappropriate things, almost like they thought, "Hey, you work in a store that sells sexy clothes, so I can talk sexy to you." Now, let me just say here, I'm not trying to come off as above all this and perfect. I'm certainly not trying to be holier than thou. But I think I was raised right and know enough not to ask a young lady at Victoria's Secret what she has on under her clothes. I'd be uncomfortable asking a woman that if I was her gynecologist. But just picture that. You work at a retail store. Just because it happens to be Victoria's Secret, guys think they can come in and ask you what underwear you're wearing. It was crazy to hear. Now, I did find it interesting. The young lady on the podcast said, well, it was the mid-90s when this happened. It was a different time. But is it, though? If you ask me, that's the behavior that got Andrew Cuomo removed as governor of New York. A guy who convinced himself he's so charming and has power over any woman he chooses, he can say whatever he wants. Hey, Candy Pants, my name is Windows 10. Can I crash at your place tonight? Hey, Sweet Tits, I'm here. What are your other two wishes? Hey, Dollface, are you a parking ticket because you got fine written all over you? That's how I picture Andrew Cuomo at work. Now, you might be laughing, and there might be some women out there who know some men that they work with that say, you know what, that ain't far off. Now, that's the least offensive of the stories. So, as I say, the next two involve celebrities, but I'm not going to tell you right up front who they are. Because one of the things I realized in preparing this show, if I tell you who I'm talking about, you will form some sort of opinion before you hear the story. It's human nature. But it's an interesting little prejudice we should be aware of. You'll understand better in a minute. So I'm listening to a very popular radio show, and the host had a guest on who wrote a book in which she tells of an encounter she had with a famous singer. The woman was a model who appeared in the music video with the singer, and she said while she was on the set, the singer walked up to her and just grabbed her breast. No warning, no reason, just walked right up to her, and as if it was a playful little joke that everyone was in on, grabbed her breast. And he laughed. And everyone on the set laughed. And she said she laughed. Because what do you do? He's a celebrity and you're a nobody in her mind. So she laughed. And she excused herself and went to the bathroom where she broke down. Because she was so ashamed and so humiliated. She composed herself and came back out and finished the day shooting the video. And everyone there acted as if the incident never happened. Now, in an interview, the woman says in her mind, she felt the singer did what he did because he wasn't getting enough attention. She was getting a lot of attention. She was having fun on the video. Everyone was having fun on the video, but he wasn't. So it was his way of saying, hey, I'm the star here. I deserve all the attention. And I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to grab your breast to show you who's important, to knock you down a peg, put you in your place. That was her take on why he did it. I don't know whether it's true or not. I don't know whether she knows whether it's true or not, but that was her take. Now, the singer in the story was Robin Thicke, and the model was Emily Ratajkowski from the video Blurred Lines. Now, you know why I told you the story first? Because some people may say, whoa, wait a second. Isn't that the video where she's bouncing around topless? She's naked in that video, and she's complaining about someone touching her breast? But isn't that kind of the second assault? The second harassment? That people would say, well, listen, if she's naked, well, listen, if she chose to be on the video, well, listen, how come she didn't storm out after it happened? All these questions that people tend to ask when they know who the person is, and they cast judgment on the person when they hear the story. And she even says, she understands that it's hard for people to wrap their head around the fact that she had a good time shooting the video. Other than the incident with Robin Thicke, she had a good time making the video. She said she enjoyed herself that day. But it didn't remove what he did, and it didn't remove the humiliation that she felt after what he did. And by the way, Robin Thicke hasn't denied any of this. His only reaction to her book and the revelation is he blocked her on all his social media, from what I understand. So that was the story. It was a compelling and it was a sad story because it was sad to hear her talk about it as if, hey, well, you know, this is the price of admission for a woman in entertainment. This is the price of admission for a woman that looks like me, even though it has nothing to do with appearance. It has nothing to do with how attractive a woman is. Some of these things, it's about power with some guys. It's about exerting their power. It's about getting their attention. It would appear for some of these guys. And Emily Ratajkowski writes in her book, this is not the only time she was sexually assaulted. Her book is entitled My Body, I believe, if anyone has any interest in it. But it's not the only time. And again, it's sad that in her mind, it's almost like she has accepted it's the price you pay when you're in entertainment. But what if you're not in entertainment? That leads me to my third and final story from the same popular radio show it just happens to be. A writer on the show, and I wish I could play the clip for you. I wish I could play the clip for you, but I don't think I can. So I got to tell you the story, but I can't do the story justice. But a writer on the show told a story about being banned by a female doctor. He said he went to this new doctor for a checkup, and it turned out she was extremely attractive. When it got to the part of the exam where she had to cup his nether region and said, turn your head and cough, to check him for a hernia, he purposely pretended not to hear. Then, on purpose, he didn't cough properly. Also, she would have to keep her hand there longer, keep her hand on his balls longer. This is the story. This is what he's telling. Then he decided she was so hot, he would make another appointment in just a few months. Not a regular yearly physical like most people do. No, he was going to go back in just a few months because he enjoyed himself so much the first time around. And he went back and he did the same thing. Purposely forced his female doctor to keep her hand on his balls. He then says he went back a third time, probably within about a year, maybe a little bit over a year, as he tells the story. He went back a third time. This time, the doctor didn't do it. She didn't do the hernia check. And this idiot said, hey, doc, aren't you going to check my hernia? The doctor says, no, that's okay. You don't need it. Because she's wise to this guy now. And so the next time he went to set an appointment, they told him, sorry, we aren't seeing any new patients and we're considering you a new patient. You haven't been in a while, because he said he hadn't gone in a while because of COVID. And so it turned out they checked it. They were taking new patients. They just weren't taking him. The guy got himself blacklisted from a doctor because he's a pervert. So again, just picture it. This poor doctor just wants to practice medicine. Probably worked her butt off to get her degree. Has some degenerate pervert treating her like she's some kind of serving wench in the 1400s. The more I listened, the more I said, this kind of sounds like a sex crime. Especially when he got to the part of the story where he revealed he told his buddies, yo, I got this smoking hot doctor. You got to go get her to touch your balls. Now, the host of the show, the co-host of the show that were listening were blown out by this. They were disgusted by him, but it was all comedy. It was all comedy. They were laughing. It was the Howard Stern show. Now, again, people may form an opinion as soon as I say that, based on what they know about Howard Stern or think they know about Howard Stern, if they're not a fan, if they are a fan. But it's amazing that Howard Stern, who, if you listen to his show on a regular basis, as I do, is pretty empathic when it comes to these sorts of things. He had just done an incredibly compassionate, empathy-filled interview with Emily Ratajkowski in the same time frame he was laughing and yucking it up about a guy forcing a doctor to touch his balls. It didn't make any sense. Now, I kid you not, comparison group, I thought for sure it was going to occur to them, hey, that was dangerously close to a sex crime. We probably shouldn't speak about this or play this show anymore. But they did. They actually played that part of the show in one of their best of 2021 packages because they obviously felt it was so funny. Now, again, I'm not here to be holier than thou. I struggle with understanding some of these things. I struggle with understanding how physical sexual assault or inappropriate touching gets lumped in with unwelcome flirting or crude talk in the workplace. I struggle with the over-sexualization of some singers today, like Miley Cyrus or Dua Lipa or Cardi B, and why they would present that image to their young female fans. I remember Dave Chappelle tells a joke. Dave Chappelle, he's gotten himself into trouble. Maybe not a good example, but Dave Chappelle tells an interesting joke that's funny, but also thought-provoking, in which he says, and I'm greatly paraphrasing here, he gets it when women say, hey, just because I dress a certain way doesn't make me a certain way. But he says that would be like him dressing up like a police officer and standing on a corner and someone running up to him and saying, officer, officer, please help. And him saying, well, just because I'm dressed this way, you think I'm a cop? So again, people may get offended by that, but it brings up the question that I struggle with. So I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I got it all figured out when it comes to these things, sexual assault, sexual harassment. And as a guy, maybe I'll never figure it out. Maybe I will never understand why women don't speak up immediately, or why a lot of women say when they find themselves in these types of situations, they blame themselves. Maybe I would never be able to understand that as a guy. But what occurred to me, and this is the point of the show. I'm getting ready to make the point of the show. What occurred to me hearing three random, unrelated stories in the course of about 1 week is, man, women got it rough. Man, women got it rough. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter how attractive you are, how famous you are. Women got it rough. The biggest threat to women is men. Men they know. Men who are strangers. Men they have a brief encounter with in an elevator or a bus or a subway. Men who are full of themselves. Men who are insecure. Men who get drunk. Men who take advantage of women who get drunk. Men who think women have a place and should know it. Women got it rough. Rougher than I had realized. And I thought I was a pretty evolved guy when it came to understanding gender equality. So I guess I got work to do. I guess we all got work to do, guys. I'm going to wrap up here, but it is January 6th, the anniversary of the siege at the Capitol, the movie I'm writing, starring Joaquin Phoenix as Ted Cruz. So I guess I should say a couple of things. Listen to Biden's speech this morning. Strong speech by Biden. I'll give him credit. He hit all the key points he needed to hit. I would have liked to hear him say Donald Trump's name. I don't know what it is. Does he feel like it's more offensive to just call him the former president? No, say Trump. You don't even have to say Donald Trump. Just say Trump. Say his name. The media got themselves all in a tizzy. Oh, Biden, he really went after Trump. He didn't even say his name. How do you go after somebody and you don't say his name? Did Fox News carry the speech, the Biden speech this morning on January 6th? Yes, they did. I listened on Fox. They carried it in its entirety, including Kamala Harris. Now, their commentary afterwards will probably be a little bit different than the commentary you'll see on CNN and MSNBC. But if you're curious, Fox News did carry the speech. They weren't talking very much about January 6th prior to the speech. The early Fox and Friends show, when I turned that on at 7 a.m., they were basically screaming about Biden taking too much vacation and failing on COVID. Pick yourself up off the floor. You heard me right. They were talking about Biden taking too much vacation. So I won't say a lot about January 6th, the anniversary. I did a show about the insurrection when the insurrection took place, but it never got published. It was a show that I was doing in the early stages of this podcast, a show for only a select few. Now, I may just post that show, one of my earliest shows, from the vault, I believe they call it. If I get, let's see, how many? 150 subscribers to Apple, iTunes, or Spotify by Friday night, I'll post that show. I'll post that old insurrection show. 150 subscribers to Apple or to Spotify or anywhere else you like to subscribe. Could be Stitcher, could be Amazon Music, anywhere where you get podcasts, pretty much you can find the show. You can subscribe to the show. Doesn't cost you anything. I don't know why you haven't done it yet. You just go on. We don't know who you are. Takes 2 seconds. You're not putting any personal information in there. It's just like signing up for anything else. Give yourself a nickname. Now, I don't know if some people are afraid. Is this show that controversial that people don't want to let people know they're subscribing to it? Maybe that's what it is. I won't subscribe to porn websites. I don't want people knowing I'm looking at interracial porn. I don't want people knowing that's my thing. I'm subscribing as a member to a porn site. I know what you're thinking. Interracial porn. You're talking about black guy, white girl, or white guy, black girl. Does it matter? Ooh, this show is getting edgy this year. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, January 6th. So anyway, I would just say the Democrats got to be careful. They got to be careful. This is turning very political. How can it not? How can it not? How can the January 6th investigation not be political when it's being conducted by Congress? It's difficult. I don't have the answer. You want to hold people accountable, but at the same time, the Democrats are beginning to look like what the Trump administration was, focused on locking up all their political foes. So you got to be careful. Let me make it clear to you. One thing here. You're not going to lock up Donald Trump. I don't see it happening. If by some miracle you can find a way to get Donald Trump inside of a courtroom and on trial, his final last gasp defense will be, well, I can't have a jury of my peers. How can I have a jury of my peers? There's no such thing. I'm a former president. How are you going to find an impartial jury? How are you going to find a jury who doesn't know anything about the case? So I don't see any way of ever bringing Donald Trump to trial, convicting Donald Trump, and sending Donald Trump to jail where he'll be without his hair care products and his tanning spray. So continuing on with this investigation, I think is just leading people to a road of disappointment. Also, as they are working themselves up on the newfound evidence of messages going back and forth between Fox News commentators and Mark Meadows at the White House on January 6th, saying, you got to stop this. You got to stop this. Tell Trump he's got to stop this. They're saying, oh, see, look, look at this. Trump knew. They knew what was going on. Well, yeah, but it also is an indication that those people, Donald Trump Jr., the Fox News commentators, Sean Hannity, and so forth, it indicates to me that they saw what was unfolding as a surprise, as something that's not expected or wasn't expected. If I was their defense, that's what I would say. I would say, hey, listen, based on the messages going to Mark Meadows, the panicked messages saying, hey, you got to do something about this. This doesn't look good. It would appear to me that they weren't expecting the people to behave in that way. They thought they'd show up, they'd wave their flags, they'd make a showing, big rally, a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, but they weren't expecting assaulting of police. They weren't expecting broken windows. At least that would be my defense. We weren't trying to incite any riot. We were shocked, as you were, when it happened. So again, I'd much rather see Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats focus on where I feel like the danger truly is, in the amplifiers. The amplifiers. Without the amplifiers, you don't have people showing up like this, pushing the lie that Donald Trump was robbed of the election, was amplified over and over again on social media, amplified over and over again in conservative media. So there has to be some sort of action taken, some sort of accountability when people are going on social media or going on cable news media, really in particular, and knowingly telling lies. Knowingly, Rudy Giuliani, Donald Trump Jr., Michael Flynn, all of these people, Steve Bannon, going on their own podcast or networks and continuously just telling the lie that they know is a lie. It's particularly egregious because they're enriching themselves while doing it. That's the difference. They're making money off of telling the lie. That has to be illegal. And if it's not, it should be. Legislation has to be brought forth to make it illegal. I can't come on this podcast and tell you, hey, if you get me a new listener, I'll send you $100 and then not do it. I can't tell that lie. There has to be some standard for what people can knowingly put out into the public space. That's what I'd prefer to see Democrats focused on. Just listen to this clip. This is the last clip of the show, and then I'm going to wrap up right after it. Listen to this clip from Corey Lewandowski testifying in front of Congress, on national TV, admitting, because he's been painted into a corner, caught in a lie, saying basically, yeah, I lie to the media because I feel like the media lies. So I don't see anything wrong with me going on the media, which is my outlet to the public, my outlet to get information to the public. I don't see any problem with going on the media and lying. Listen to the clip.
Do you ever misrepresent what you did on behalf of the president?
I can't think of an instance where that would have occurred.
Let me show you an interview that you did on May 14th, 2019.
I don't ever remember the president ever asking me to get involved with Jeff Sessions or the Department of Justice in any way, shape, or form, ever.
Did you hear that, sir? That was you saying on MSNBC, you don't ever remember the president ever asking you to get involved with Jeff Sessions or the Department of Justice in any way, shape, or form. That wasn't true, was it, sir?
I heard that.
And that was not true, was it?
I have no obligation to be honest with the media because they're just as dishonest as anybody else.
So you're admitting, sir, you were not being truthful in that clip, correct?
You really have to see the visual of that. I suggest you go on YouTube and pull it up. Corey Lewandowski, the little weasel, he sits there, he's leaning over, consulting with his lawyer on how to answer the question, are you a liar? And he says, yeah, when I'm talking to the media, I am. These are the people you have to do something about. Democrats, Congress, people are going to do what they're going to do. People are going to rally, they're going to riot, they're going to scream, they're going to yell, they're going to bust out windows. But it's the amplifiers. A lot of it has to do with the amplifiers that get people that enraged to do what they're going to do. When you have Sidney Powell, the lawyer for Donald Trump, who went around on all the media channels pushing the conspiracy theories, once she gets sued by the voting machine company Dominion, her lawyers go to court and say, and I quote, no reasonable person would believe what she said were truly statements of fact. That was the defense. I've told you about this defense before. This is now three people. Sidney Powell, Donald Trump's lawyer, who pushed the conspiracy theories that the Dominion voting machines were rigged, goes to court and says no reasonable person would believe what she was saying was true. That's her defense. Alex Jones, when he's sued, goes to court and says, people aren't supposed to believe what I say. I'm doing entertainment. Tucker Carlson, when he's sued and goes to court, he says, no one's supposed to take what I say as fact. No one's supposed to take this stuff literally. This is what you have to do something about. The January 6th Commission, I don't know what's going to become of it. I don't know what they're going to find out. I don't know who they're going to hold accountable. But legislation has to be passed to stop people from going on cable TV, from going on social media, pushing things that they know are lies, and when they're caught in the lies, saying, you never should have believed me to begin with. A single word. Thanks for listening. Please share the show. Please, please, please share the show. Subscribe to the show. Give the show a few listens. Visit the website www.thecomparisongroup.com to find other episodes. Follow me on Twitter. @comparison_show. Send me your comments. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Can you advise me on how I can have a clearer thought on issues, I'm open. I'm open. This is the discussion show, not a debate show. I'm not trying to win any arguments here. Hope everyone has a happy, safe, profitable new year. I'll see you next time. But the mystery is awesome. Don't let me be forgotten. I sing alone.